First, my co-host, Paul Hollis, author of the Hollow Man series, owner of Hollow Man Publishing in America, MAVA. Paul, how are you? I know you're excited about our guest.
I am an old friend, I think. He's a CEO of Media Magic, and which is a high-tech and an SaaS industry global growth platform. So welcome, Thomas.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me, Neil.
So Thomas, tell us how this whole thing started for you. What is your background in, and how did he become a CEO? Kind of go delve into that part.
Oh, wow. How did I become the CEO? Okay. Well, when I was a child, I was always an entrepreneur trying to sell my friends on the neighbors on the block thing. So I think it's in my DNA, in my blood. I've got entrepreneurs in my family. When I joined IBM and worked at IBM twice, actually, I had the blessed opportunity to work in the EBO organization, which is Emerging Business Opportunities. So like a startup within a company, right? Cisco does the same thing in high tech. And so I love doing that for open source software and Linux and life science, new emerging technologies, kind of like AI, generative AI. So I've always been attracted to it, but so this is my, I guess, fourth or fifth company. So I just love building things. I love the process and the journey.
And it's fun once you get it in your blood, but when do you figure it out? You know what I mean? Because I'm going to say, like, I'm in this CEO journey now. I have multiple companies and I'm like, well, I didn't think of that in the days when I was a professional wrestler or teacher, that I would be in that role and kind of figuring it out. And now I'm a leader, and it just happens overnight in certain ways in development, and you create stuff. And that's what we are, creators.
Mm-hmm. Creators, producers, and doing it through ambiguity and pushing, leaning into those emotions too, by the way.
So talk about your latest company and what you do.
Thank you. So Media Magic is a global growth platform for SaaS and tech companies. And it's my background, 28 years now. I got my start in, cut my teeth in a small tech company in San Jose, California. And then I ended up at EDS, Ross Perot's old company, and just by way of introduction. So I went through the ranks and rose up, and I learned, I made mistakes, and I grew. And so my current company helps companies in SaaS and tech figure out how to grow, how to crack the nut, how to, as one of my mentors once told me, how to navigate the Silicon Valley startup valley of death. And, you know, 92% of startups still fail after $5 million in funding in a Series A. So there's no guarantee. And I've got a lot of friends in the venture capital community and people I know I've worked with before. And they know it's kind of a numbers game, and not all startups succeed, kind of like on all rock bands. So we help them because I've been there and I've done it. In fact, I just had a client meeting yesterday with an AI robotics company that you guys probably know, and I can't disclose the name. But a client who's come to me to 5x the revenues this year. How do they grow tech? And by the way, they're publicly traded too. And so it's difficult to scale up and crack that nut, especially in B2B.
Yeah.
How to do it with a high return on your ad spend, how to do it with a high return on investment, your marketing dollars, you know, instead of just having a huge cost of acquisition, customer acquisition cost, CAC. And not getting the results you need as an entrepreneur, a CEO, you know, whatever your background, whether it's engineering or business or tech or whatever.
What do you think is the biggest reason why all of them fail? I know that all, isn't only like 10% of businesses succeed already. So you're giving me this whole, you know, SaaS number, but still, come on now. So, you know, it's everywhere in business. People start a business, have a great idea, even get funding, and they don't know what to do with it. If I, let's say, I started a tech company with $5 million right now, all right, what would you recommend the first thing that you need to look at? Like when they've never gotten a sale? Because that's the hardest part when you take something to market. Is it really sellable? Sometimes it's just not.
Yeah, great question, Neil. So I like storytelling. And by way of example, I'm helping. I have another client in Poland. They're in Krakow. And great, smart CEO, engineering background. He's built this company for last eight years ground up. Super guy. A lot of respect for the team. Fantastic. It's an embedded software engineering services company. So they do a lot of products for like what Cisco makes, and they put it into the marketplace. Networking equipment, medical device equipment. And his biggest issue is he keeps thinking binarily. And I don't, I, it's confidential, so can't name the person, but you know, entrepreneurs, and I used to do the same thing. I think in binary. Well, the world is not binary. It's very gray, 50 shades of color in rainbow. And leaning, you know, understanding, you know, customers don't think in ones and zeros. They think in business cases. They think in use cases. They think in how, what problem in business can you solve for me with whatever tech or SaaS, software as a service product, or whatever new widget, but iPhone, whatever it happens to be, okay? The coolest new shirt, t-shirt, or the coolest new brand, or men's product, skincare products, whatever. I live in an industry of tech and SaaS. So, but it has to solve a business problem for the end customer. And so the biggest mistake entrepreneurs make is either, and with all due respect, because I've got four patents and a product management background, but they think in engineering terms, ones and zeros, but I was blessed. It's kind of a long-winded answer, but I've got a lot to say on this topic, and I teach my clients, and I'm giving the keynote in a couple weeks in Warsaw too. But I was blessed in 2014 when I worked at a startup called Pixie. I was director of technical sales. I was working with engineering teams in the oil and gas industry, and Frank Robinson was contracted to come on board and teach me how to sell, design, and build. It's the inverse. He called it the sink wave methodology. And I've adopted this as well. Frank, by the way, is the guy who invented the term MVP, minimum viable product. And the same goes through any industry. And you're right, back to what you said. Most companies fail. Most startups fail. Most businesses fail. But those who succeed really succeed. But Frank taught me how to sell, design, and build. And so I do the same thing with Media Magic, and I help our clients. And I help our clients do the same things. You know, get the invaluable feedback. Stuart Butterfield did this really well at Slack. You know, a lot of people use Slack. They're required by bigger, much bigger company. They did early beta of customer feedback and testing from tens of thousands of users.
Totally.
So they knew what to build, where to spend their engineering dollars and money from VCs to then build a better product. It was a better product market fit. So sell, design, build. It's one of the primary things I would say is important to success as an entrepreneur, no matter
what. And I'm going to ask you more questions on this because I'm learning so much, and I didn't have to pay the consulting fee. Thank you. So so that's me good asking the questions, because I'm in a phase where I'm understanding that, just because here's my background in wrestling. We get in a match, there's no television, right? You go to a town, you're working an independent show. This is how wrestling relates to business. You go in a match, no one knows you, babyface versus heel. First minute, you have to get the crowd to hate somebody and love the babyface as the heel. So you go out, they look at you, say, who the hell are you? What's this guy? And I have to get everyone angry and upset and then look like a fool in the match to make the baby face shine. So we've sold them at the end of the day that they're into it. But if you go to a match and it's crickets, the crowd doesn't care, you know that you've not sold. It's almost the same thing in so many ways, that you present something to somebody. And I love the idea you say sell, design, build.
Yeah.
If you're not able to sell this, you shouldn't be designing anything or building anything, because it's crap. It's worthless.
But most companies do, and most entrepreneurs do. They think, well, I have this idea and I'm going to sell it. Everybody will come.
No, and they don't look at the marketplace. They don't look at.
Your analogy is great, though. I mean, you have to. So in the tech industry, you know, in tech industry or whatever, tech is a huge umbrella. So it's all kinds of different sub industries and products and software and hardware brands and hardware tech. For the end customer, the avatar, the ideal client profile, you know, yours in wrestling, it's like the audience out in the crowd, and you have to evoke an emotion with your audience.
Yeah.
And you must do that. I don't care if you're selling this, you know, magic mouse here, or if you're selling chai in a restaurant or a cafe. Right. Well, I just my chai.
But
here.
The ideal customer avatar doesn't always have to be niche either, because you don't really know. It could be shock you that it could vary. And that's the mistake that a lot of coaches make. You got to go niche. Well, what if there's not enough people in the marketplace for niche? Or what if it's not really your ideal customer avatar? And that's a hard process that you have to go at the beginning. Go ahead. I'm just giving you my feedback.
Yeah. And you don't know until you sell and you talk to customers, by the way.
That's what I keep saying is you just because you're doing social media posts and you're getting people to the website and they're not buying. Have you had those customer conversations? Even with the book, even with the book, you can have customer conversations through direct messages. What do you think of this idea? Should I don't write a book till you get 1,000 people say, man, I'd read that book. And that's the mistake people make.
Yeah, I'm writing 3 books right now, by the way. Paul, you didn't know that.
we have a publishing company, Hollow Man Publishing. I can explain that another time. But that's awesome. What we've learned from our authors is this. If your book doesn't sell, it's not our fault in marketing. Sorry. We get you to the sales page and no one converts. There's something missing. And I think that, so am I right about, let me see if I'm in the right kind of, I'm more kind of validating sell, design, build. You take this idea to market and sell it to investors and figure out what they're really looking for and what the market's looking for. Then you design it and then build it. Is that pretty much?
Ideally, but you have to have like an MVP. So you have to have a minimum viable product to show a customer, right? So you got to have in publishing, right? What is it called? Manuscript, right? Okay.
Manuscript.
So you got to show kind of like, okay, what is the story? And then, okay, then you write more, right? Then you build more. Same concept, different analogy, you know, but it's analogous. It's very analogous. And Frank Robinson taught me how to do this as well. So we've got an MVP. It's got a certain feature set of software. You show clients, you get them to use it. You get customers to use it. And then they give you feedback. And based upon that feedback with a larger set of customers who have the same problem, by the way, an audience, a marketplace that's big enough to actually monetize it and make money, then you can go and develop the product into a next version minimum viable product MVP or the next general release version, and so marketing plays a big role in that. Growth hacking plays a big role in that. And this is what we do for clients at Media Magic, but whether it's us or another provider or company or another expert, quote unquote. I mean, I've been there and I've done it 3-4 times now. So,
and that's the important thing. If you hired somebody and you did it for yourself, then you could do it for other people. Then you're pretty damn good. A lot of people can't do it for themselves. And then they try to sell services to other people that they couldn't do for themselves. So how the hell are they going to do it for somebody else?
Yeah. My client told me this yesterday. He's like, I took your meeting because I know you've been there and you've done it. You have authenticity. You have empathy. Yeah, I know exactly what you've been through. Up at night, losing sleep. How am I going to get this new customer? How am I going to build the product? How am I going to get the funding? How am I going to get, you know, all these different things you struggle with as a CEO or as an executive in the business, right? And it's hard. It is really hard.
So tell me what your company does that's different. You said you talk about marketing. So media. So so do you guys do everything involving marketing for
the group? Not everything, but we do have a pretty robust service portfolio. So we'll do top of funnel B2B lead generation and couple with it what I call the MVP CCP, which I learned from Frank, the minimum viable product charter customer program. You know, how to go out and get anchor accounts, get that feedback we've been talking about for 10 minutes, right? You know, and then get them to pay also, maybe get them to pay for part of it, you know, improve the product along the process, get invaluable priceless feedback. So LinkedIn and don't underestimate the power of top of funnel B2B email marketing plus LinkedIn Salesforce automation. So LinkedIn sales automation. We also provide social media ads, PPC ads that are highly targeted. It's all with the audience in mind, though, for our client. So with every client, we have to know. You can't just take, okay, it's software as a service. The ideal client profile is the same for everybody. I don't care if you're in financial services or over in generative AI or something else. It's not the same. And so some marketeers try to do that for their customers or clients, and that's not the right way. And I'm really transparent about this. And our people appreciate that, by the way. Very probably too direct or honest, but it is what it is. So it's different in each case. So it's the audience in mind. We develop the right messages, the right strategy, campaign plan, and then measure it all along with data. So we have a methodology that I developed. I actually I didn't patent it, but it's the demo methodology 4 years ago when I started the business. Define, execute, manage, measure, and optimize. Mm. And it's a repeating loop for clients to make sure we get the best results for them. And by the way, if we get higher return on investment in ROAS, then we can share in that success with our clients. So something we do a little bit differently as well.
All right. If you didn't, so we've been listening to Neil Patel and Marketing School Podcast, the commercial for LinkedIn with ROAS. I heard it in a LinkedIn B2B commercial on Marketing School Podcast. So it's funny. So I heard ROAS. So I didn't know ROAS still. I've been listening to the same commercial over and over again because Neil Patel and Eric Sue are throwing tons of commercials on. Have you listened to them? They're really
I follow Neil all the time. Yeah, Neil Patel.
But you listen to his podcast, he really tells you the straights. Oh my God. It's so it made me go from more ideas of a solopreneur to a full agency when I was driving back from Texas 9 months ago, and I've not stopped because I really just decided to hire American-based team. And I said, I'm out of this. I'm not going to make as much of a profit margin, but it was the best decision I made because I can get sales all day long. And that's the big thing that you bring to the table is you're telling them the straights, you're looking at ROI, and a lot of companies have it in-house. They don't know what the hell they're doing. And then they outsource people. They can't market them out of a paper bag and they're trying to do it for somebody else. Oh, I created content. That doesn't matter. So what do you think of paid ads right now? Do you think there's a good return on investment in paid ads right now, or you think it's a pretty tough market?
Well, it really depends on it depends on your ICP and the type of product or service you want to market. I mean, what do I think of paid ads? It's a big question. It's a lot to unpack there, but LinkedIn is great for B2B. It's also quite expensive on a cost per click and in a cost basis, cost per lead. Facebook is good for mostly for consumer brands, really. Or if you're like a gaming company in SaaS, you can go to Facebook and go to Instagram and do app install campaigns, which we do for clients as well. Google Ads is good for B2B. I think better for B2B. Search is really expensive though on a CPC basis. YouTube, I like YouTube a lot right now. YouTube is, I think, one of the underplayed, but it's the cost per click is really, really low. So we do this. I suggest this to clients all the time. Look at YouTube if you're a business trying to attract other businesses, okay? Or if it's B2B2C, the consumer is the end customer. YouTube is a great way to do it. But make sure, listen, the bottom line is through any whatever the answer is to your question, because there's a lot of different answers to the umbrella question. What marketeers, if you're doing your in-house, or you come to us to do it, or somebody else, make sure there's an entire funnel. So what people do is they do, let's publish content, but okay, where's the person go? Where's the user go? Well, you want them to go to your page to buy something. You want to have them go to a landing page. You want to have a call to action. You want to have correct call to actions. Ads sent all the way through, so the messages is the same all the way through that entire marketing or sales funnel. And even ugly funnels work, as one of my mentors in Canada once told me.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be this. It doesn't have to be one of the major ones. As long as you get them to the sales page and they convert, you've done your job. And that's for a call. If that's convert for buying that product or service, and you have to look at the bottom line, look at numbers, sales every day. You shouldn't be saying you're not sitting, depending on the size of the company, right? And depending on the size of the ads, and look at all those different things. Where's the best place people can find information on you? It's great how you're niching to that specific area, and you're providing, it looks like, a lot of consulting and coaching involved in your agency as well, the company. Where's the best place people can go?
You can find us at teammediamagic.com. That's T-E-E-T-E-A-M, mediamagic.com. And just click on you can click on the request a free proposal or find out more about us there. Case study, tons of case studies, tons of client testimonials. Clients say good things about us. And thanks for having me. Are we at 15 minutes, Neil?
Yeah, we're almost at 15. All right. You're listening and watching the Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.